Hey guys, and welcome to episode 5. It is 5, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's 5. It's 5.
I'm just going to let you introduce them and we'll go with it.
Of On the Record with Sam and Mike. How you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, not too bad this morning.
Good. Good. We have just had a chat about your crash motorcycle for the past hour, probably.
Yeah.
Trying to get mugged off by insurance companies and all sorts of salvages.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolute savages. So yeah, I mean, topic for today, haven't really gone into detail about Mike what it is, but we're just going to go with the flow. There's obviously people at the moment are sort of reassessing their expenses and their investments and where they put their money, and health is a massive topic of the year, especially as, I mean, even corporate industries are now investing a lot more into health and wellness programs in their businesses. And it's so important for people to start seeing the importance of prioritizing investing into their health and wellness. And I think it's also the topic of it being more of an investment than an expense. It's kind of something that I've always believed and tried to get people to understand, is that putting money into your health and wellness is an investment into your long-term health, even your short-term health. And it should never be seen as an expense where you're just throwing money away.
I think you briefly mentioned before we had this chat, it's like people save for their pension, but almost what use is your pension if you're going to spend it all on curing your health problems when you get to 50 plus?
100%. Save on that 100 grand surgery that you're going to have on some sort of hip replacement, and focus on putting your money into a good movement specialist that can fix all your movement patterns when you're in your 30s. You don't have to do that. Mm. I mean, hip replacements, people are getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It's unbelievable. You got a very nice Hoover in the background, by the way.
I got a Hoover?
A Hoover.
Oh, man, you can hear that. Right. I can't hear that.
We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it. So, I mean, I've seen some great stuff, and I actually shared this with Mike beforehand, on sort of the amount of money athletes are spending in health and wellness. And bear in mind, health and wellness is not just a gym membership. It's protein. It's your little creatine tablets and maybe your pre-workout. And from my perspective, it involves so many more things. So, for example, like if you work at home, you need to invest in a proper chair that suits your spine, and whether it's orthopedic. I'm not saying that because I'm still justifying my own expense and looking at your chair.
Well,
isn't it made out of matchsticks?
Mate, I don't know what it's made out of. It will absolutely fall to pieces at any point.
That was your lockdown project of collecting matchsticks off the street of London to build your own office chair.
Well, because I'm moving, I'm like, let's not add more things to move. And so I'm just, for the next like month, I'm just dealing with terrible things. Like this desk, I'm expecting at any moment for it to just fold in and collapse.
I just really appreciate your mini dining table.
What mini
like
desk?
That is
oh the one in
the mini
and in the kitchen.
Is that a dining table?
No,
or is it,
do you know what,
a
that
side
is,
table?
It's supposed to be a side table, but there's another table like the one I'm using now in the basement. But
yeah,
it's like it would take up the whole kitchen. And again, it's made of matchsticks or cardboard or something.
Yeah.
It's so flimsy.
I am going to share an image of the one that I saw, if you're watching this on YouTube, of your mini dining table. It does make you look massive, but
no, that's just because I am.
Anyway.
I'm actually 9 foot tall and 2 foot wide.
the table's actually 5 foot high.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, understanding, first of all, the elements of what you need to invest in. So, obviously, things like your sleep. Is your bed comfortable? Is it not just comfortable? Is it good for your back? Is it good for your positioning? Is it stiff enough? Is it soft enough? Has it got sort of what you need to get good sleep? Have you got correct pillows? And then obviously you've got things like nutrition, you've got things like chairs, if you sit at your desk all day long.
Yeah.
there's so many things that people kind of disregard and go, do you know what? Okay, I'll just get this, and not understand that maybe it's better to focus on it as an investment rather than a quick expense of I've got to tick that box. Same with programming. Like, the problem is there's so many cheap alternatives out there or cheap solutions to finding a program, and a lot of people tend to think when they need to train, they just want something to follow, when actually if they looked at it as, it's almost like if people looked at their health and wellness the same way they look at their investment portfolio of all their savings, they would make so many different decisions. I mean, imagine if, and I know you've got into investment over the past year or two, if you had your money that you'd saved up for, right, and you found some dodgy fund that was charging like no rates and was just cheap as, and just basically just gave you the platform and did the trading for you, would you really trust putting your money into that?
Well, there's no such thing as free, right? And
no,
there really isn't. And this is going to be a little bit of a tangent, but that was the whole thing with the Robin Hood platform when the whole GME and AMC thing went off, isn't it? Because they're a free platform, but what they actually sell is your data. And so there is a, and they make a lot of money out of that. And so when something is free, it's like, okay, you know, sometimes there is just a good Samaritan out there putting out free stuff, but the intention is always going to be for them to grow their audience, grow their awareness. Whether it's YouTube, it's like you're going to be paid by Google, whatever it is. So is free going to attract millions of people? And in doing that, they then get paid by a third party rather than those millions of people. And do they actually care then if they lose 100,000 clients? Do you know what I mean? I had this conversation with someone about a coach who had 200 individual remote clients, and I was really just trying to, and the dude is a very, very smart guy, but I couldn't think how you can create an individual program or at least know the details. I actually believe he could he could write a program based on like the puzzle that he believed was a human being. But there was no emotional side to it. There was no understanding of what was going on outside of that life, outside of the programming, outside of the gym. And there's no way you could do that. I can't remember 200 people's goals. Like even now, like if I have 40 clients, I'm referring back to notes that I've made about them over the over the weeks in order to build their program. Like, I'm not trying to remember 40 people's details. That's why you make notes on stuff, right? Like if everyone had a Zoom meeting and then no one ever made notes, and I know this is a problem because I know I'm pretty bad at making notes from our Zoom meetings.
When did
meetings.
You make notes?
I'm most organized when it comes to clients. That's where I'm most organized. Everywhere else,
I mean, that's where it matters.
Yeah. I'm terribly disorganized when it comes to something else, and actually out of the corner of my eye noticed my cable management on my desk. That's a job for later. But yeah, going back to the topic, like free stuff usually comes with a sacrifice somewhere in the sense of like trade-off. Free programming, sense of free programming, it's probably to do with building awareness, building a brand. Does that person gain hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram, and now they're more attractive to other brands who then will use that platform to sell products? Is the quality of the programming going to suffer? Probably. Like if you're trying to write for 1 million people, it's very big chance that you've got a lot of different avatars within that demographic. So
yeah, I mean, touching
how many
on
of
that,
those people the, are going to be happy with what you're giving?
The perspective of quality, that's not a quality of they won't get anything from the session. That's more of a quality in terms of, does it tick the box of it being the perfect program for you? Is it suited to you? Does it provide you the quality that you need?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going from no movement to anything, you'll get better.
You're
going to
get something from it.
Yeah, we touched on that last week, didn't we? On consistency. It's like you can consistently do something and you'll get better at it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. And I think this is the problem, is that people kind of, price becomes very much a leading factor in fitness, because people do see it as an expense rather than an investment. And people don't see that you get your money's worth. If you spend 20, 30, 40 pounds on a monthly group style programming, your focus will not be doing a program that's developed for you.
Yeah.
The focus will be getting you to move, and you will plateau, you will hit a certain, and that, to be honest, this could be a coach that could be offering an extremely good service for a very low price, but they will be suffering on the back end, because it does require a lot of time. And I think people, it's difficult, because a lot of people at the moment, when they're choosing programs, price is the first thing they look at.
Yeah.
Rather than looking at, okay, like I said, with investment, if you are putting your money into something, treat it like an investment, so you know that you are getting the most value of return for it that suits you. And I think if this year and last year's taught us anything, is that we need to prioritize investing and taking into account, what are we investing our money into? Is it of best value to me and my circumstances in the health and wellness element of your life?
Yeah. And this is an interesting one, because when I first started as a PT, there was a lot of talk about how you sell to a client based on price. And it's much, much better to sell based on value. Like, what value are you providing? If the client can see that value, there's no real problem in the sale price anyway. But if we go back to like that sales price and how people perceive a price, you say that people's first impression is, what is the price? And I'll be honest, I'm like that as well. And sometimes I'll have a look at stuff and go, okay, can I really justify tying myself into this £59 a month, like, coaching education article thing that I'm subscribed to? And what I did is I went down my bank account and I looked at all the random shit that comes out of my account that I don't really use that often, or I could consolidate. So, I mean,
titanium gear shifters and
all sorts of Amazon Prime, which is an essential. Netflix, I have Spotify, I have Disney Plus, HBO at one point, or a version of it. And then I got talking with my family and everyone else, and how many of us do we also have this? I'm like, okay, well, my brother also pays for it. I'm like, okay, well, we can consolidate, because I can have four users on my account. So I can consolidate and have my family use my Netflix, my brother, and Jess. So like, I've just consolidated massively these payments, and I ended up saving about £80 a month. And so,
do you do that for your Sky Go as well?
No, my Sky Go is free. My Sky Go is free.
Just to clarify, Mike has access to my Sky Go for free, because
I actually haven't used since the last Formula One. Yeah,
he has access to a lot of channels. But yeah, carry on.
But I actually don't use them. That's the other thing. It's like the last time I logged on to Disney Plus was, I don't know, to watch Mulan, which is a great film.
Yeah,
the original.
It's a great
new film. One. It's missing. Is it Eddie Murphy who plays the little dragon?
Yeah.
The new one is missing Eddie Murphy. but yeah, so it's the way we were told to look at it when we were first as PTs, and especially within London, I could easily, on a night out, big night out, spend £200. No problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm quite a generous person when I've had a few drinks.
And this is London, not Manchester. If this was Manchester, you'd be staying in, like, five-star hotel and paying drinks for the whole city.
£200 a month is basically, £200 is basically two rounds for your group of friends that's come out.
It's like 10, 15 pounds a drink.
And you think about it, like, if you were to do that even once every or twice a month, it's £400 a month that you spent on things that detract from your health. So if you go with the health is wealth kind of analogy, like, you're detracting from your health, but you're also detracting from your bank account. So you're paying money to negatively impact your health. So even if you cut your drinking in half, or you just drank a little bit less, or you chose some cheaper drinks, you can then put that money towards counteracting the damage that is done for that drinking, or educating yourself into looking after yourself a little bit better. You know, I sat on the Concept 2 bike yesterday listening to a good video on effectively cannabis within training, and more from a CBD, CBG perspective than actually getting high and sitting on a bike. It was mind-blowing. There's so much new information that effectively, because CBD and CBG has entered this industry massively in the past couple of years, there's so much new research. And I was like, I learned a lot from that. Easily £30 a month worth of information whilst I was sat on the bike. That was a great payback for my investment.
Yeah. And I find I love it when supplements or tools come into the fitness industry, because it really challenges our stigma and almost like what we're used to. Because people are like, first of all, you see the first few brands come in, then you see more brand, then you see influencers get involved in the branding, and then you see people start to buy, and then suddenly it's the end thing that everyone should have CBD.
Yeah,
like it's, and I mean, there's always tools that will provide you incremental gains somewhere. Yeah. Whether they give you that 0.5% or that 2%. And this is where it's so important, because understanding those incremental gains is primary. Because you could be spending £30 on a quality CBD.
Yeah.
But the incremental gains it provides you is minute compared to maybe increasing the amount of protein in your diet. Mm-hmm. But you could be spending some money on some whey protein, or you could be maybe spending some money on more vitamins or omega-3s or certain things that your body might be deficient in. Your body's not deficient in CBD. It is deficient in other areas, but CBD is like a supplement to enhance.
It's interesting as well, because CBD effectively is affecting the endocannabinoid system that is already in your body. But most people don't know whether that's working properly or not. So it could be working great, and then you add a ton of CBD to it, and it's almost like this overload. And actually, the amount of CBD or the concentration of CBD that you do actually have to take in order to elicit the gains from that product is actually a lot higher than people think. And so to regularly dose with CBD or CBG is actually quite expensive. And so the cheaper products
just on CBD, instead of two drops.
You're like, I mean, my CBD oil is two drops. It's a £250 bottle. Like, it's not cheap. But the £250 bottle lasts me about 3 or 4 months. And that's, I don't even need to use it very often. I use it periods of stress or times that I'm having a little bit of trouble sleeping, but it is,
it's like £80-85 a month.
Exactly. And also with CBD, there should be like an earthy flavor. So if you've got a CBD spray or bottle that tastes amazing, it's probably had a lot of the useful stuff like removed from it.
Yeah,
like you want the full spectrum, obviously, like whether you've got THC in it as well, kind of. If you're a competitive athlete, even trace amounts of THC could trigger a positive drug result. But there's a lot of benefit from CBD, CBG, and in the terpene scale spectrum even. But this is going to go down a very
it's super interesting, because it's getting people to understand that there are so many different areas you can invest into your health and wellness. There's recovery. There's performance, there's the actual program, there's consultation, there's rehab, there's physiotherapy, osteopathy, there's all sorts of stuff. There's insoles for your shoes, there's all sorts of stuff. And I think it all starts with understanding your situation.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we do a lot when we take on a new client, and we've mentioned this in the first episode, where the first stage is to understand the client and what they need. And it's always frustrating because there's times where you see people who do invest in their health, but their ratio of investment is so off based on what they actually need, they're basing their decisions on the wrong influences.
Yeah.
So for example, you could have someone that's spending £20 on a training program, but spending 70 quid on protein and supplements, spending 80 quid a month on CBD, has a Theragun, has Vivo shoes, has the best orthopedic bed, has a Herman Miller desk chair. And it's like, well, hang on. Like 99% of your investment into your health and wellness are in areas that maybe you need to prioritize in creating like a balance, maybe focus on how are you moving. Like what you do in the gym plays a small role, but at the same time, everything you do outside of the gym supports what you do inside the gym.
Yeah.
So it's getting people to understand, right, okay, are you following the right plan? Yeah, okay, good. Have we got all the tools in place to get your recovery in line? I mean, we looked beforehand at LeBron James, and we spent an hour trying to work out percentage. Well, I didn't, Mike did. He was like, oh, this is 1.7% on this. It was my fault though, because I did say monthly. So LeBron James spends $1.5 million a year, not a month, a year in health and wellness and fitness. And if you actually look at that, most of it is cryotherapy, it's recovery, it's nutrition. But at the same time, he is an athlete.
Yeah.
And you know that the majority. Yeah, and you know that maybe, okay, his recovery focus is because he needs to perform.
Mm-hmm.
When he performs once a week, sometimes they perform what? Like maybe.
Well, they once have every to perform 2 days. Pretty much every day when it comes to training, right? Because if you're slacking in your training every day, you're not just going to be able to perform on the day. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, he's spending $1.5 million to make sure that every single time he pushes his body at all, it's primed and ready. I mean, like, like more towards, I guess, our hobbies. Think about the amount of money people that Formula One teams spend on making sure a car works properly just for basically 2 hours. Works properly for 2 hours, and then we have to rebuild it again.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to where do you put your value is for LeBron James. It's his career, but it is also his health. It would be interesting to see how NFL players prioritize their health going forwards and see if there's a shift towards more longevity within NFL players, because a lot of them are very broken.
I mean, you look at Tom Brady, like he's created a business from his health and fitness.
Yeah.
He's created T12. And I've actually been to one of his gyms in Boston. And it's incredible. It's unbelievable. And it's a gym that is highly popular in Boston for high net worth business people. Because they know the importance of investing in their health. And at the same time, like there is no difference between LeBron James turning up to the finals of the basketball championship. What's it called? The last five games that they have to compete.
Playoffs.
As compared to like an investment director of a fund who's got to be so switched on and aware and healthy for one of his board meetings or one of his end of year sort of sessions. And it's the same thing where health is not just a matter of performance. It's a matter of awareness. It's a matter of recovery, it's a matter of sleep, it's a matter of just general health and well-being. And I'll tell you now, you can kind of tell based on people's mentality and energy when they're sort of in a business, where they're at with their health and wellness. Like if you're in a business and you've got like a CEO who is always snappy or depressed and just all over the place, they clearly are not investing well in their own health and wellness.
Yeah.
And it is sad to see. And we actually did some research onto the amount of spend in the UK, sort of across the UK, and how much people roughly spend in health and fitness. And it's so interesting to see the different sort of generations and how much is being spent in health and fitness. And it's, do you know what? It's great to see. So we've kind of got two figures here. We've got one from the sort of younger generation and one from people who are over 55 years old. So I wasn't going to tell you this before doing this podcast because I was going to make you guess.
Is it around now. The like 200?
don't be a twat. Don't be a twat. So on average, Brits, so this is not Americans. I do actually have some stats on UK versus America. I'll try and dig that out again because it's quite interesting. Brits, let me find the age group here. Oh God, I've lost the age group. Millennials. Between the age of 25 and 35. Actually, this is more. I read ones that were actually, this is total average.
So do I get to guess now? 20,
you can guess this one. So between the age of 25 and 35, what do you think is the average monthly spend?
Okay, so when we're talking about health and fitness, are we talking about purely gym memberships, coaching, or are we talking about...
Gym memberships, supplements, not your food, but supplements, gym memberships, that sort of stuff. Additionals.
250.
No, higher.
Ah, well, that's kind of good to know.
Yeah, it's great. It's good. £365.
Is that, where is that?
This is on a Wellbeing News website. 100% correct. Obviously, you know how research is. They've backed it up with...
Does it have a double-blind study?
Everyone has taken this test. Even I remember taking this test. I literally think they do this research on like 10 people.
Yeah.
And then obviously, aged over 55s, £74 a month, which is absolutely insane. I mean, like you mentioned earlier, this should be the other way around.
Yes, and it's but I also kind of get, I guess if people are retiring around the age of 55 and they no longer have a disposable income and they're just relying on pensions or investments or whatever. And to be honest, I don't think the UK are great with extra investments outside of their pension. In fact, I don't think most people are. I think it's actually an area that a lot of people are scared to go down. But
I mean, you might even find...
I wish my parents would spend... £70 a month on their health.
Well, to be honest, you might find some of these people that are over 55 in a position in their business that the business covers it. I don't know, like all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
They might have a son who is a qualified PT
that they don't listen to,
or strength and conditioning coach that they don't listen to, so they don't need to spend it, but they know that they've got that experience.
They do
there
listen. They listen a little bit.
They listen a little bit.
Yeah, you know, like when you hear something and you're like, I'm going to absorb about 7% of what I've told you and then I'm going to hang on to that thing for dear life. So like I've told them about the importance of core strength, which is about one of 30 things I've told them. And that's what they've hung on to. That's it. So now they don't want to change, don't want anything except planks. And now my dad's decided he doesn't like side planks. So they're out of the program now.
Well, it's so interesting with that. So, for example, my parents are very much on this two meals a day type of diet.
Yeah.
And they don't eat lunch. And it baffles me because they probably train more than me. I'll be honest. They train a lot. Like, my dad does, probably 60 minutes on the Concept 2 bike erg every single day. I don't know the intensity, but even that sort of time frame, he's still accumulating more than I do.
I don't have, the glute. Or just general butt density around. To sit on the bike for that long. I've got some cycling shoes, but I never wear them.
He literally has the same pair of Nobles that he's had for bloody 2 years that I gave him, and he just, classic.
We should have a little chat about Noble and the CrossFit Games at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But not today.
I remember being at the Games with... I think it was 2018 with them, and it was interesting because we were watching a lot of the events with Todd and all the guys, the three main guys, and it was Sam and I. We were just chatting about how the year before they were literally wearing, they saw like a few Noble wearers, And then 2018, we were just like, holy shit, like there's so many pairs of Nobles. And I remember Marcus was like, we are going to sponsor this at some point, which was incredible. Marcus is, I love Marcus, he's great. But anyway, we will cover that.
Yeah.
So this is a really interesting one. So I'm going to read this whole paragraph. The nation's quest for health and fitness shows no signs of abating, with 2 in 5 respondents admitting that they're likely to spend more on keeping themselves fit and healthier in this year coming, so that's 2021. Key spending drivers include concerns about their weight, 23% of the 10 people they asked, a desire to improve their mental health or reduce stress, 22%, and a concern about their level of fitness, 20%. So it's good that people are starting to understand what is involved in health and wellness and well-being. And do you know what? If you're listening to this and you don't see those elements, hopefully we can try and help you to understand, actually, do you know what? This is not just a matter of investing in a good training program. It's a matter of understanding that my mental capacity is equally as important. My sleep patterns, my sleep quality, and even things like investing into Whoops. Like, I have a perspective on Whoop. It will bring something to your life. If you have the capacity to handle it, great. Do it. It frustrates me so much because I see people invest a lot of their energy into advertising Whoop in the wrong way.
I think
we'll definitely talk about Whoop at some point.
Yeah, I think Whoop highlights to data-driven people that there's something wrong. All right.
Yeah.
But I do know people who have got their Whoop and then just ignored the data anyway.
Yeah.
So like it kind of, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. Right? You can show everyone, they at some point people have to take responsibility for it. And it's kind of cool to see that the younger generation are taking responsibility for their health in terms of the way they're spending. But I guess I wonder what that encompasses, because Whoop is obviously a monthly subscription now as well. So I guess.
Is it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've still got a founders membership, but my Whoop is somewhere on a plane going back and forth to, I think it's Atlanta.
Probably got COVID about 7 times.
Yeah, so I don't know where it is at the moment, but it's definitely on a plane somewhere. But I think if you think about the way businesses are now, everything's leaning towards a subscription model. And so maybe that's where the monthly figures come in. You've got a monthly subscription to your gym, monthly subscription to, let's say, MyFitnessPal, monthly subscription to Whoop. It kind of adds up if you think about it.
Yeah, and it's, I do, so I had a Whoop, I got given it, very nice gift from someone, and I stopped using it after my trip to Ibiza. That was literally when I stopped using it, because I was like, do you know what, a lot of this stuff, don't help me, psychologically they don't help me, because I have a good understanding of my sort of energy levels, I have a good understanding in my sleep patterns. I know when I've had bad sleep, I know how to roughly get an understanding of how to measure my central nervous system, what to expect, what I need to do. I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert at it, but I have a rough idea. And I found personally that Whoop would kind of make me think differently to what my body was telling me at times.
Well, I think,
and it's not a bad thing, but...
You're outsourcing your ability to auto-regulate.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get and not an immensely accurate way, because you're supposed to be checking HRV with Whoop, which is a great metric, but it's taken from your wrist again, which is not the strongest signal, but it's the easiest place to wear it. Like no one really wants to wear a heart strap monitor all day. Like I even get annoyed with just wearing my watch all day. Like I take it off all the time. And I know Morpheus do one that is up by your arm that you don't wear all day, but you take, which is probably a stronger signal. And then Elite HRV, you'd wear a chest strap. But all of these things kind of highlight stuff. I was actually talking to someone about it the other day, and it's like, when you challenge someone on their sleep and they're like, yeah, I can get away with 6 hours of sleep. I work really well on 6 hours of sleep. It's most likely because they've been sleeping for 6 hours for so, so long, they've forgotten what it's like to sleep for 8-9 hours. When I first started as a PT, I was pretty much on 4 to 6 hours every night. And it wasn't until I slept consistently for like 6 weeks for 8 hours, I was like, the thought of going back to 4 or 5 hours was just tragic. There was no way I was ever going to do it. So, you lose the ability to auto-regulate when it comes to things like Whoop. But technology is advancing so fast. So, you know, their metrics are better now than when they first came out. The technology is getting better and better. So, but it's kind of like we said before, it's your 1% kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, it comes down to, is it worth you spending that money on? Because that's kind of like the topic, really, isn't it? Is, you know, if it forces you to do what it's telling you to do, then great.
Mm.
I know Whoop has destroyed relationships. Like, I have clients who have had a Whoop and they're like, get obsessed with the data. You're like, 70% recovery. No, I'm going to bed at 9 p.m. and not talking to my partner now.
Yeah.
I'm
done.
Yeah. The Whoop's telling me I need to sleep.
I'm going to put this out there, right? I am more than happy for Bill Gates to put a chip inside of my body.
Elon will do it first.
That will allow me to understand if I'm unwell, if I'm healthy, to understand my needs, to all of this. Because you know what? I don't think, I mean, people like my personal data and all of this, but you know what? I quite like Instagram having my personal data. I mean, if they send me an advert I want, I'm like, thank you. Like, I will take that advert and I will go buy that mouse mat.
I don't know. But at the same time, Amazon spending is not good.
But like, I think if the readings are accurate, and this is probably my engineering background, like having those measurables is so important. But if you let those measurables dominate your perspective and your own understanding, then it can be quite dangerous. And this is where we did touch base on, obviously, Instagram being a very bad influence for some people and the decisions they make with their health and wellness. And this is where, obviously, people can segment their spend. So whether it's stress, whether it's all sorts of stuff. And there's this great article, actually, on corporate spend and the sort of response from their staff during the pandemic. So nearly half have adapted. So this is employee wellbeing, healthcare practices. There's a huge demand for support in stress, for support in productivity, for support in, I've lost where I was reading. Loneliness, negative mental health.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are not going to take this into consideration this year. And a lot of people, a lot of men especially, they have egos. They feel, especially at a certain age bracket, they get to the point and they feel like, you know what, I do not need to invest in that. And the best thing I've ever done is actually buy an app, Headspace. Like, I find that has been the best investment for me. And for years, I was like, why should I get a bloody app that tells me when to breathe, when to do all of this? But it's fucking important. And I think if this isn't enough to show that we need to start approaching, and this is exactly what we're discussing about, believe it or not, we are discussing about a topic.
We
need to approach this with an investment perspective where this is our portfolio. Our portfolio consists of stress levels, sleep, nutrition, supplementation, your training in the gym, how you train in the gym, what your bloody shoes are, are they good for you?
Even things like social well-being, psychological well-being, all of those are in there as well.
And I almost think that the percentage of investment that people think is required for this is, I know the stats show that the younger generation spend a good amount of money, but that's not reality. Like, we don't know what this data is specified on or the breakdown of those costs.
Yeah.
But I think something that is so important for this year is that people need to really understand what they need. And cannot stress enough how even though you may be spending 10% of your income or 20% of your income or 40% of your income on your health and well-being, you could be spending it in areas that are actually not what you need. And I know there's a lot of people that do not spend enough with the amount of money they have coming in because they do not see the importance of it for their long-term, short-term, medium-term health and well-being.
Agreed. And yeah, it's kind of like, it's just the measurement of value, isn't it? Everyone's measurement of value is completely different. If your measurement of value consists of spending money on having a new car every 2 years, you're more likely to lease a car than to buy one and keep it for a very long time. Same comes to health and fitness. If your measure of value on health sits around, you know, you value it very, very highly, you're more likely to spend monthly expenses on things that will improve that metric.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think that's pretty much it. That was good.
Yeah.
I think hopefully we've helped some people have a different perspective on spending money in their health, and that it's not just a matter of your training program. And it should not be price dependent. It should be all relative to your expenditure, but you need to understand what percentage that needs to be to suit you and your lifestyle. If you are highly stressed, if you are highly active, if you're a person that demands a lot from yourself, you need to really reassess and get it right for your own benefit and even the people around you. Yeah, guys, if you've got any questions, shoot them over. If you do want any feedback, or if you want to have an assessment yourself, just fill in our free online consultation.
Or if you want to hear us talk about something. Have to help. If you've got a podcast idea, let's hear it.
Send them over. Make sure you like and subscribe, and carry on with your hoovering. You can go finish cleaning the house now, Mike.
I was not contributing. I was making it worse.
Right, see you later, guys.
All right, see you later.